Father, we thank you for your loving kindness today, your tender mercies towards us. We thank you that your word is alive on the inside of us. Your spirit is alive on the inside of us with resurrection power. Lord, let revelation light continue to come upon us, stir us up on the inside that we might know you and the power of your resurrection. We might know the way we should walk and how we should live our lives, Lord. We thank you for this great apostle. By the Spirit of God, he's written us a letter, Father, that we'll be impacted by this. Lord, be a heart of a giver, a heart of a man, a woman that will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So we thank you for this time in the Word. Thank you that it will contribute to our growth in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're returning back to 2 Corinthians. I am putting somewhat of an emphasis on the idea, expanding on this thought of the Apostle Paul. What did he do? What did he preach? What did he teach in all the churches? He says that this is what I teach in all the churches. He taught about this ministry of giving. He was impacted by it in his own life. It was a revelation to him. He who supplies seed to the sower. We read this in chapter 9 and verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. God supplies that to you. Well, we think, oh my, I'm so blessed. I have all this. Well, maybe it's to give away. Maybe some of it is to share in spiritual things and in natural things. Who's the revelator? Who's the one that gives revelation? Do you think you come up with these things by yourself? Who do men say that I am? Jesus said to his apostles, to his disciples. And Jesus said, thou art the Christ. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood. The human mind does not reveal these things to us. It's God who reveals these things to us. And when you receive it, it's seed for you to sow it. You connect with the Spirit of God, and God is he's inspiring you. You have these treasures in earthen vessels. This is treasures. You're a vessel of God, and he keeps filling you. He's filling you. Filling you with all good things. So here he is, what these aspects of Paul's ministry. I don't hear this preached very much. I don't think that this should be, you know, the very central core point of you know, giving in the sense of money, because to me the Word of God is all about Jesus Christ, you know, and that is what the Word of God is about. Jesus Christ in you. He was the Word. He is the Word. He was from the beginning. It's all about him. But God so loved the world that he gave this revelation of having a giving heart. And there's little secrets in here. Yes, I understand that, where he reveals what his ministry does as he continues the ministry of the word of God being sown in his people. The fruit of righteousness begins to come forth in them. Love begins to come forth in them. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. This is what he's saying here in verse 9. And this is not a big point of today's, it's just catching us up. Don't exclude this from Paul's ministry, because all these areas that he was preaching and teaching in, and this spirit of liberal giving that had come upon the churches and was being sown, Paul was carrying these things to Jerusalem with him, and it was supplying all his needs. The church's needs were being supplied, and those poor saints that were in Judea, their needs were being supplied by the churches, the Gentile churches that Paul was influencing. I just don't want you to miss that in the narrative. Don't miss that, because that will happen in your life as you give. Because we have, there's needs, and we see these needs different places. We'll soon hear from Alan. I'm not sure how quickly. We'll soon hear from Alan of how things are going in Tanzania. You know, he's kind of out of touch right now. No phones, Pastor Bill says. No phones, no internet. This is kind of like the old days. I remember when Pastor Bill was in Europe and it was like, it cost him $75 to make a 2-minute phone call to Donna. These are the days. Times have changed, thank God. So here he is supplying seed, verse chapter 10, and Paul begins to change gears a little bit. Not so much talking about motivating the church. Remember, they promised. They gave a promise. They gave their word that they were going to make collections. They were going to store up these collections, and they were going to give it. I just don't want you to forget that. Titus was involved in that. Titus had it in his heart to go to the churches and to visit them and to bring the collection back. It's not the first time it's happened. We see it in the book of Acts. And he says, I myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, chapter 10, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent, I ask that when I'm present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I purpose to be courageous against some. Here's the active part of this part of portion of the scripture. There were some who regard us as though we walk in the flesh. He's about ready to reveal something to us. You know, it's not till he writes the book of Galatians that he really defines what that means. He does point out immoralities, you know, lewd behaviors, all these kinds of things. He does point this out in Corinthians. But as I was pointing out, with the Apostle Paul, as he grows as a man of God, as a leader, as a church father, more revelation keeps coming to him. He's even going to tell us that here pretty soon. I'll go on to more visions. I'll go on to more revelation. And we will too. As you walk in Christ, more light, more vision, more revelation will come to you. You will continue to grow. God wants us to grow. We're children of God and we grow up in him, become more like him, be influenced more by him. Our spirit is being influenced by the Spirit of God. So I know that we look at these scriptures, we read the books, we've read the books. Intercession, we're going to read a book on intercession. They're going to go right here. Warfare, intercessions. I understand that. I get that. I'm with it. I'm holding fast to those things that I've learned from other authors and other writers. But follow this. There's some people think Paul walks in the flesh. He doesn't define that until he writes Galatians chapter 5, if you look. The works of the flesh are these. He defines them. But that's not our subject study. We're not talking about the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. Though it is good. Go and reference it, Galatians chapter 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We're not going to argue with you. We're not going to bicker with you. We're not going to break faith with you. That's not how we're going to win you over. We're not going. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The weapons that the Apostle Paul was using were going to pull down and destroy fortresses. He's going to define it more as he goes. Destroying speculations in every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. What was the knowledge of God? I'm not trying to trick you here. Jesus Christ. That was the knowledge of God. He's become to us wisdom, knowledge, revelation, sanctification, redemption. Christ is that. The secret that has been held since the beginning. Christ is the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, obedient to him, subject to him. He's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. This is what it is, completeness in Christ. Presenting you complete, Paul's heart is wanting to do this. Presenting them, he's going to define this as we go more. Very powerful word, complete. So you are looking at things as they are outwardly looking at things, judging things as though they're the flesh. How you used to see things. We don't see things like that anymore. Paul's talked about that in chapters before. If anyone is confident of himself as in Christ, let him consider this again within himself, just as he is Christ, so are we. You think you're in Christ? So are we. Paul's becoming very bold here. Even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, here's this interesting thing about the authority of the life of Paul. Doesn't a father have authority over his son and daughter? Come on. Doesn't it? Isn't it so? Paul left where he was at. He was in a comfortable place, teaching and preaching in Antioch. He was in a nice place, teaching the word every day. Here Paul was. And he's fasting and he's praying with other men, other leaders, other prophets, other teachers. And the Spirit of the Lord said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to. They weren't fathers yet. They were men in the Lord. And then they went out and they began to preach Jesus, and people started getting saved. Now what do we do with them? They had to work this out, because here we are 2,000 years later. We already get it. Oh, go to church. What was church? This was a new idea to them, this new gathering together of like-minded and like-faith people. And then you begin to teach them. They're baby Christians. They're babies. You need to teach them. So now, who's the authority? Of course, I know Jesus is the authority. I know the Holy Spirit is the authority over their life. But Paul's the apostolic father now. And he has to stand up and take a new role in his life. Remember when you didn't have any kids? You were like, didn't have any kids. Almost can't even remember what that was like, almost, right? But now you're a father, and you have to do it. You have to be the father. Step up. Paul stepped up. And so they were accusing him of stepping up, saying evil things about the Apostle Paul, this man, this authority that he had. What's this authority for? We're going to read about this in a second. It says, they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive. I can't even get a picture of my mind what the Apostle Paul looked like, but here it says, you know, that's only the pictures, the Renaissance pictures we have of him, right? And his speech is contemptible. Let such a man consider what we are in word and letter when absent, such a person as we are when we are present. For we are not bold to class ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. And Paul's already been through these experiences in Antioch, in Jerusalem, people commending themselves. Oh, they've done this great thing and that great thing. And they've written all these books, and they've done all this, all these meetings, and they've had all these things going. It means nothing. It's the authority that you carry. It's what God has given you. It's what God has appointed you. It's what God has done in your life that makes you what you are. It's what God has done in you that makes you what you are. We're not bold as to class ourselves with some of them commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among one another, they're without understanding. They don't even understand that that's not the way you do things. But we will not boast beyond our measure. We're not going to say anything more than what we've already done. There's no sense in making big fish stories. You should have saw the one I caught last week. It's not a big fish story in ministry. It's way too important for that. But within the measure of the sphere which God appointed, it's God appointed some work, and Paul and Barnabas began to walk in it. Paul and Silas began to continue in it. God appointed that work. And so to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. Their trek, and if you look at their journey and their trek, remember, Corinthians was his second missionary journey, not his first. Second missionary journey, he went back out again. after that first trip wasn't enough, being stoned and left for dead, beaten with rods, whipped, stones thrown at you. That's not enough. Let's do it again. And that was fun, wasn't it? Let's go do it again. You know, you get persecuted at your job. People make fun of you. Holy roller, what you were. And you go and witness again, as you should. Because that is meaningless. What are they comparing you to? Each other? You carry the life of God. The light of God is in you. They'll come around. They'll come around. You just keep living for Jesus Christ, pleasing Jesus Christ in all that you do. But we're not boasting beyond our measure, but within the measure, the sphere which God appointed to us as a measure to reach as far as you. For we're not overextending ourselves, as we did not reach to you. Didn't we reach to you? Didn't we knock on your door? He did. He's just sharing with them, reconnecting, rekindling his moments with them. We're not overextending as if we did not reach to you, for we are the first to come to even as far as you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, we're the first ones. We're the ones that were the first ones in town. We began to, and he even says in other places, it's the Spirit that works miracles among you, healings, deliverances. What do you think happens when the Spirit of God comes into town? Why does it have to be spelled out for us in words like that? When the Spirit of God moves, what do I think is happening in Tanzania when the Spirit of God's there? Healings, deliverances, education of the Spirit of God. That's what's going to happen in Tanzania. I'm confident of it. So there's these men boasting. We're not boasting beyond our measure, not in another man's labor. We're not coming into town because someone else has already been there. We're just, there's that aspect of it, coming in to help another work as it's being done. But with our hope is that the faith grows, we will be within our sphere, enlarged even more by you. This is what happens when you grow. When you grow, the church is enlarged. The family of God is enlarged. You begin to share your faith. You're reaching people that I can't reach. It begins to grow exponentially. The gospel needs to go forth. This is what we're doing. So as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, we want to stop at your place. We want to refresh ourselves in your presence. And we're going to go on to other places that haven't heard the gospel yet. This is spreading the good news. This is going to all the world that he's talking about. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord, for it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he who the Lord is. When God is with you, you know it. You know it. Others know it when God is with you. As Brother Ema used to say, you either have the stuff or you don't. I used to love that when he would stand it. He would smile. He would smile sometimes. Remember, he has the stuff. And that was my best Ema impression. Pastor Bill does it. Pastor Bill does it better than me. He has the stuff. The Spirit of God is on him. Revelations coming forth from him. Power even can be coming forth from him. I wish you to bear with me a little foolishness. This is what Paul is saying. I'm going to be foolish for a minute here. Just bear with me. Just bear with this foolishness. Paul's not exalting the idea of being bold, being foolish. He's not. His boldness is in Jesus Christ, right? Indeed, you're bearing with me, for I'm jealous. Paul says, I'm jealous. All right, jealousy, right or wrong? Can be. Jealousy, right or wrong? Yes. It is. Right, Donna? Jealousy, right or wrong? Can be. It is. Absolutely. God's jealous over you, over your life. Being pulled away from God to follow after immoralities, lusts, that's not pleasing to God. We know that's not pleasing to God. He's jealous over us. godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband. This is really kind of an important part of the scripture. Paul understood this. I betrothed you. I betrothed, like a father saying to a daughter, I betrothed you to him. I betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. This was Paul's understanding of the church. A pure virgin. Paul understands that there's going to be a great marriage supper of the Lamb. He understands that concept. There's going to be a marriage. But I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve, Paul knew the story in Genesis. He understood it. He knew it. As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And let me get on Pastor Bill's soapbox for another, just for a moment. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Simplicity of loving Christ, simplicity of following Christ. This was what Paul taught everywhere he went. Simplicity of Christ. Love for Christ. This was it. I betrothed you to one husband. For if one comes and preaches, see, if we would like leave this section and just jump straight to Galatians, this would become really super clear, because he's of this same mind when he writes to the Galatians in not very long from now. You'll see some of these same components in here, some of this same language in here. And even more clear language between things of the flesh and things of the spirit. More revelation is coming to the Apostle Paul about how to explain these things as the Spirit is enlightening him. He says here, for if one comes preaches another Jesus whom you have not, who have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you've not accepted, well, you bear this beautifully. We know this guy's a clown. We're not going to listen to anything he has to say, because this is what it is. It's a different Jesus. It's a different gospel. We know the truth. We know the true gospel. And he's saying, what? I have to do what? Follow a doctrine of his? I've read about these things in the early church, first century, beginning of the second century in church, different apostolic fathers, they call them. Well, if I haven't baptized them, they are not baptized into Christ. Why would you write something like that? Why would somebody not understand that that's heresy? We're baptized into Christ. Let's keep moving here. You received a different spirit which you have not received, he writes about this in Galatians. Or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautiful, for I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. He talks about these eminent apostles when he writes to Galatians. Who would these eminent apostles we talk about? Really, in the New Testament, there's only a few mentioned after the book of Acts. You don't hear about what happened with Matthew and different ones, Simeon, and different ones that had gone forth, you know. But we have to look for other types of literature in order to find out. Fox's Books of Martyrs tells us what happened to some of these people. One went to Spain and was murdered there. One went to India, in Madras, as a matter of fact, was murdered there. What was his name? Thomas went to India, and he was evangelizing in those areas. And all these men, eminent men of God who walked with Jesus, went out and bore fruit in all the various places that they've gone. We just are following this narrative right now. So these eminent apostles that were immediate in Paul's mind right now were basically Peter, James, and John. They were the eminent apostles that he met in Jerusalem. These were men, he wasn't criticizing them. He revered them. He honored them. He mentioned them. And that's what I want you to see, not that he was comparing, because he just got done saying, comparing myself to another man. He's not going to do that. That's not what the Apostle Paul is doing. So he says, but I even, unskilled in speech, verse 6, unskilled in speech, yet I'm not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we have made this evident to you in all things. The knowledge that he carried about the Spirit of God, what God was doing, Christ in you, the hope of glory, everything that Paul knew and understand about the Spirit to this time, he's pouring out into the churches. Did I commit a sin? He's asking them a question. Did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God without any charge? I gave you all this, and you didn't have to pay me for it. That's really what he's saying. This we see in the book of Acts. We see this happening in Corinth. Who's the Apostle Paul with in Corinth? I'm not testing you. I'm going to tell you. I'm not testing you. Just see if you remember some of this narrative. Paul's in Corinth. He gets there. He's with Aquila. He's with Priscilla. More than likely, Titus is either on the road or he's with him. Timothy is either on the road or Timothy's on the road. He's with Silas up to the north. And then Silas and Timothy come back from Macedonia. They have an offering. The churches gave money in Macedonia. This is the narrative in Acts, if you look. So you can find it there. He says, then he makes this statement. This is how it's connected. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to serve you. He had rent to pay. He had food to buy. This is just real life. Don't make it some story that it isn't. You know, this is just, you have to eat, right? You have to pay rent. He didn't have an electric bill. There was no such thing. He didn't have cable. No, was no such thing. But they have expenses. These people have expenses, just like you and I do. A traveler has expenses as he travels. Paul, he worked with his hands and paid for everybody. It was amazing what the kind of person he was, a heart to give. When I was present with you, I was in need. I was in need. What happens when you're in need? You go put your hand to something so that you can get some money. I was not a burden to any. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, that was Timothy and Silas, the brethren, came from Macedonia, supplied my needs, and in everything I kept myself, fully supplied my needs, I kept myself from being a burden to you. I'll continue to do so. That's my heart towards you. Always giving, always giving. Paul's always giving. This was infectious in the church, Paul's heart to give. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Where's Corinth? It's in the region of Achaia. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows I do. God knows I do. Doesn't a parent give everything for their child? You love them, you give everything. This is what the Apostle Paul's fathering heart was, to give everything to them. But what I'm doing, I will continue to do. It's working for him. So that I might cut off opportunity for those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which we're boasting. Paul's an apostolic father. You cannot steal that away from his life. This is his history. This is his life. This is who he is. This is what he's doing. Others can't make that claim. They didn't go there first. It's okay that they're contributing and they're teaching, they're preaching, they're prophetic ministry in these regions, as long as they're not bringing another gospel, as long as they're not bringing false teaching. They're building up the body of Christ, and we'll talk about that with authority as we move forward. Such men, we read this also in Galatians, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers. There are these people in the church today, false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Yes, we could explore that. What does that mean? What does that look like? You'll know the truth. You'll hear it come out of their mouth. You can watch their lives. These are the things we have to be aware of. The church in Corinth was aware of that. You accepted it beautifully. You see that these people aren't what they say they are. No wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. This is also a reflection back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The works that they do, it will be manifested. It will be tested with fire. Let every man be careful how he builds. Let every man be careful. Again, I say, let no one think me foolish. But if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I may boast a little. What I'm saying, I'm not saying as the Lord would. Interesting thought. I'm not saying this as though it's a command and as the Lord would, and this is even the right way. But it's in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. Paul knows not to boast, but he loves these people. His heart is for these people. He's jealous for these people. Let me just tell you about his connection with these people. He loves them. He's inspiring them. He's a father to them. He brought the word of God to them. For you, being so wise, tolerate the foolishness gladly. They know who he is. They've heard him preach. He's spent a year and a half, 2 years there. They know the Apostle Paul. You tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, if anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you. See, we see these kinds of things in Scripture, and like, what does that look like? I don't really know. I don't really know what this area, what it looked like. In that society, in that generation, that was far before my time, way before my time, okay? What was going on there that these people, that they were being taken advantage of? That one would exalt himself. Someone hits you in the face. Paul's describing this as a commonality in this time, in this area. Hit you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we've been weak by comparison. Well, I'm not sure about what, everything that Paul went through, that he's been weak about accepting this, you know, this brutality from the world, from the society, from other leaders. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness, I myself bold. Are they Hebrews? He's going to really plant his position. Are they Hebrews? So am I. I'm a Hebrew too. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Servants of Christ, I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisons, beaten times without measure, number. This is what we see in the book of Acts as we follow his narrative. These are things that are there. Often in danger of death. Something could go sideways. Just immediately. This is the way life is sometimes. You think everything's, whew, never saw that coming. Sometimes people are in accidents. You drive down the road and just out of nowhere, you get mailed. You didn't even see it coming. This is what you see in here today. Beaten times without measure, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 5 times. How much could I endure? I think once is enough for me. I retire. You know, how is it that do we compare ourselves to this kind of thing? Paul was so devoted. This is what a zealot does. You know, it's that Rocky mentality. Hit me again. You know, it's just crazy. But he was devoted to Christ. That mattered nothing to him that he was beaten. 39 times with lashes. 3 times beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times. We see that narrative in the book of Acts. 3 times I was shipwrecked. The night and the day I've spent in the deep. I have been in frequent journeys, dangers of rivers, dangers of robbers. What a man of God. What a man of God. What a man of purpose. What a man of intention. This is who he was. He never turned back. Robbers, dangers of from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers. Not all the Gentiles liked him either, you know. Especially Alexander the coppersmith. I think he more hated him than anything. Paul told Timothy, be careful of that guy. You know that. You know, you're Bible students as well. Dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. That can be the most dangerous place sometimes. I've been in labors, in hardships, through many sleepless nights. These are what Paul... Listen to his personal testimony. His personal testimony is to encourage us. What have we been through? I'm not making fun of us. I'm saying he lived in another time, in another place, in a different circumstance than us. Surely, we can do a little more. And we are. You keep walking in the Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, let him lead you, being a witness to people. I've been in labors, hardships, through sleepless nights, hungers, thirst, often without food or cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's daily pressure on me concerning all the churches. All the churches that the Apostle Paul has fathered, he has concerns over them, thinking about them, praying for them all the time. All these other churches, you see the introduction of the narrative of the book. He prays for them all the time. He carries them in his heart. This is a secret. This is how we connect with people. We carry people in our heart. If I have to boast, I'll boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who is blessed forever, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. Paul's telling them the truth, speaking to them the truth. In Damascus, here's another personal testimony of his, reflecting back, and I want you to understand the timeline here, because it's also reflecting over to Galatians in the second chapter. Again, in Galatians, these things were stirring in his spirit. It's not going to be too much longer till he writes the book of Galatians. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes in order to seize me, and they let me down in a basket through a window in the wall, and so escaped his hands. Sometimes God has a way of escape for you, but there's more to this than just a very surface thing. Who is this guy? Aretas the king. You know, I was curious about it. He's in secular history, you know. But see, that's a time marker for you to understand who he is and where he is. Where was Paul at? If you read his story and you're following his narrative, he was in Damascus, right? We know he was there. He was preaching and everything was being stirred up there in Damascus. This is also tied to his supposed journey to Arabia. If you look in Galatians, this story all connects the dots. He reigned, this king, reigned from 9 BC to 40 AD. So this had to happen before 40 AD. We know Christ died somewhere after 30 AD. So this is 10 years after the resurrection that Paul gets knocked off his horse on his way to Damascus with letters in his pocket to seize anybody who is along the way, who's called by the way. I'm going to seize you. I'm going to put chains on you. I'm going to drag you back to court, and you're going to stand trial for believing in Jesus Christ. You're going to stand trial for that. Okay. Here he is, Aretas, the king, I'm sorry, stumbled over his name, Aretas. I've never met anybody named that before. So this is the timeline that Paul was in. Damascus is where he was at. All these things he's experienced in his life, and he still holds fast to Christ. His It's not like you insulted me. You didn't look at me at church when I was there and I'm leaving. It's none of that kind of stuff is happening here. What is it that would keep us away? What is it that would cause us to say, I don't think I'm interested in this? Someone throwing chains on you and dragging you to trial, and yet they did not deny Christ. Somebody insulting you on the job, or your neighbor's dog comes over and poops in your yard. And what these are everyday occurrences and experiences of life, you know, that we have that shake our soul, but we'll not deny Christ. We'll not deny what Christ has done in you. What has Christ done in you? The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. This is the revelation of the Apostle Paul. This is what he taught everywhere in his life, that we must walk in love. We must be at peace. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. Father, thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of God, stirring our soul to follow you all the days of our life. Hold fast to the truth and do not let it go. Father, all these oppositions against the Apostle Paul, and he cleaved to you. You were his source of inspiration, his very present help in time of need. And that's what you are to us. We worship you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.